I am very, very thankful tonight to be here with you from across the waters. I'm very thankful to be able to give you a little report of the work and how it began in Labrador. But I'm very thankful tonight that I'm able to say that I'm saved and born again and know the Lord Jesus as my own and personal Savior. Before we would begin tonight, I just want to read one verse, as we have read in other places. It's a nice verse because it gives to us what have happened in the days whereby they have entered into our community. It's the last chapter of Mark, chapter 16, and verse 15, and it says, "And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." This verse tells us about those that have come our way. There was no gospel in our area, and I believe the verse tonight gives forth really what have happened. There was those that seen fit to come our way. Now, I'm from Labrador. It's in Canada. It's called Newfoundland and Labrador. But there is a distinction between the island portion and Labrador. So we have to make that clear. I'm a Labradorian, even though I'm a Newfoundlander and a Canadian. So that makes it a little bit of a tongue twister. But there is a distinction between Newfoundland and Labrador. And I want to say tonight, I'm very proud to be here. And the beauty of your land is just beautiful. In fact, I didn't really expect to see what I've seen of all the nice green grass, the things that we are not really accustomed to, even though we have nice lawns in our area. But just 2 weeks ago, before leaving home, then the comparison was very much different. My wife and I got on a snowmobile with other friends of ours and went 60 to 70 kilometers for a nice snowmobile ride in over the mountains and the hills of Labrador. Everything was white, and coming here and finding everything green is quite a bit of difference. And even while we were getting here, crossing the Straits of Belle Isle from Labrador to the hauling portion of the province, it's an hour and a half on a ferry in a right condition, but we were 8 hours on it. We were 4 hours coming over, but a kilometer from the landing in Newfoundland, couldn't make it, and we had to go 4 hours back with an icebreaker in front of us and get jammed in the ice, and we had to go back to our homeland again, and then we had to go to our own place and get aboard of a little small plane and fly across the Straits of Belle Isle again. So, but we have a kind of a different land, but every land has its own features and own beauty. And I'm thankful for the land I live in. I'm sure you thankful for your land. So I live in a little place called Anseliu. It's situated on the southern coast of Labrador. And we are bordered with Quebec. So just above where I live, about 16 or 17 kilometers, is French-speaking people. That's on the north shore of Quebec. And the north shore of Quebec at the present time, up so far as an area called Seven Islands, there is no road. They're still in the same as it was 50 years ago. The old area is just independent of its own village along the northern shore of Quebec. So the time runs quickly, so I want to get to the reasons why tonight that I'm here. In August of 1956, a little gospel boat called the MGM, perhaps some of the older folks may have some encounter off that boat. That boat was sent over to us in Canada from Scotland, and they named it the MGM, the Message Gospel Messenger Boat. And on that boat, there were five men. There were George Campbell, Bert Jice, Herb Harris, Doug Howard, and Ronnie Dart. So that little boat sailed up the Labrador coast, so far north as she wanted to go. And after getting so far north and not wanting to go any further from Goose Bay area, that's 250 or little more kilometers from where I live. From there, they turned back and came back to the Straits of Belle Isle, into the area where I live. So where I live is only 9 miles across in the narrowest pints from Lanseloo to the Highland portion. So while they were coming through the straits, Mr. Bert Joyce, I don't know if many here would know him or not, he's a big man, big tall man, he picked up his binoculars and he spied into our village and he said to the other men, he said, I don't believe there's a church building in there. And in fact, at that time, it wasn't. So the little boat and the people on board decided to come into our village. And at that time, every fisherman had his own premises. There wasn't any government wharf, any place they would tie up to. But all along the sandy shore, every fisherman had their own premises and their own crew. So he came in, he tied up to one fishing wharf and stayed a little bit. And the older man, which we oftentimes refer to him as Mr. Herbowers, he was the oldest that was aboard of the boat. He got up and he came up to the fishing stage. Our little village was completely a fishing village. And he started to speak some things to us and giving out, I was only a small boy at the time, giving out gospel tracts and spoke a little bit about the gospel, not stayed very long at all. And he decided to untie the boat then and he left and went away. So as the little boat sailed out the harbor, a voice came on by George Campbell. He was a very sharp voice, only a young man at that time of about 27 years of age. And he said, if this boat should sink, we will all be in heaven. That sounded very strange language to us because of the faith, the church that we grew up in. I want to tell you, in our village, there was 3 denominations. They were United, they were Anglican, and they were Roman Catholic. So the little boat sailed away. And we thought that the preachers were gone as the boat went out around the point to the harbor. But later on that fall, in November again, Mr. Campbell decided to come back, seeing some efforts that could be done on the coast. He came back in the next village above us, west of us, about 9 kilometers, is a little village called Forto. But he came back on the coastal boat. 50 years ago, up to the present date, there's a big changes on our coast. If you came to our coast today, you would not see it as it was at that day. The mail was carried by coastal boats and our freight. Our goods was brought in by boat from the island portion of the province up till the month of December. And what we had in December, we had until May or June. If you ran out of food in between then, you had to share with the neighbors. That's all was done. And the mail came the same way. So Mr. Campbell got aboard of this coastal boat in Newfoundland and came into this village. She anchored out into the harbor. They lowered the mail boat down from her blocks. And when the boat went down into the water, I've heard Mr. Campbell say many times, he jumped down onto the little boat on the mail bag. Sail off into the harbor. And when they got to the harbor, there was a lady there, flashed the light down at him. She said, I think that's one of the preachers that was there earlier this summer. She didn't like him. And I said the other night, she didn't like him until the day she died. But there was an older gentleman there who had some concern, and he heard the message of the gospel on the radio many times. And he went over and caught Mr. Campbell by the arm and he said, come with me. I'll take you over to my house. And I want to say the place he went, it was not a modern place. At that time, we didn't have any lighting system as you have today. We didn't have any indoor plumbing. Didn't have any roads, no cars, no trucks. Our way of transportation was by boat or by walking, and in the winter time was by all of dog team. So Mr. Campbell stayed there in that little village. But there was a nurse there in the International Granville Hospital by the name of Mary Taylor. She was an English nurse from England. She was on the coast for many years, and we owe a great lot to her. So Mr. Campbell had no place to preach. But there was an old hospital on back of the place that's there now. So Mr. Campbell decided to get permission in the upstairs room to preach the gospel. So in the upstairs room of that old place, he preached the gospel. But while being there preaching the gospel, there were two men from our area who decided that they would give them an invitation to Lancelot. So they gave them an invitation to Lancelot, and Mr. Campbell finally came to our area. 1956 was early, late in the fall. So during that winter in 1957, Mr. Campbell preached in Lancelot, first in our home, and then he decided that he got permission to preach in the United School, just a very small school in the United School. And there he preached all winter by himself in the little United School. And I want to say from 1956 until 1965, thereabouts, or a little bit before, he saw many saved. But in 1965, it was a special series of gospel meetings. And he was started in the winter. And then Mr. Jice and Mr. Older took it over from the month of March. And he preached on to the month of June. The June the 3rd, my wife and her brother got saved. That's a long time preaching the gospel. Mostly the gospel was preached in our area in the winter time, because all the people were unemployed at that time, their own doing their own business. But in the summertime, they were all occupied with fishing in their business, so there wouldn't be any series of gospel meetings. But in 19, along the road further, and 1976 and thereabouts, there was another gospel series by different brethren that came there. Mr. Bert Jice again and Bill Bingham. And the gospel was preached, and a large number gotten saved again. Even in the series before that, there were some 30 or more saved. And in the next series of gospel meetings, but I want to say in between those series, there was those that preached the gospel as well, and there were souls saved. But these were special, very special gospel series. And there were some 40 got saved. And then again in 1982, there was a special gospel meetings whereby in the winter months again, and there were some 40 or more got saved in these special series. And then in 1996, we're moving along, but in between these, there were gospel meetings, especially by our brother Uncle Halleck here, who preached the gospel for many years among us. And in 1996, there was another special gospel series whereby another 40 or more got saved. So God has worked in our area very, very well, which we appreciate and give God the glory for. And we are thankful tonight, even in our areas, there is assemblies being formed in English Point, where our brother Elik and his wife resided for 15 years, which we owe a great deal to. Our brother Halleck has stayed with us and been a great help to us over all these years and that he has spent with us. And even up to the present day now, he's gone to Ontario area. Even in our last Bible reading before leaving home, there was a brother made a remark and he says, "I'm going to read what Halleck left behind to us." So remarks like that many times have been made from our brother Halleck after being leaving, which we appreciated very much. Even from leaving, he have come back on many different occasions. But in our area, there is an assembly in English Point where our brother and sister resided for these years. And there's one in Lancelot where I'm from. And there's one in Red Bay. It is about 55 kilometers east of us. And there's one in Charlottetown, Labrador, which is about over 200 kilometers further north of us, whereby we could not get there over the years. But the past 7 years, there being a highway going up the Labrador coast and into Goose Bay. But before that, we made many trips there to Charlottetown in the winter months, because their conference was held in the winter months. and about 18 or 20, perhaps less or more at times, skidoos, or snowmobiles, I should say, would gather up with two on each snowmobile, and we would travel 200 kilometers by snowmobile in the winter time to the conference, which we really did enjoy and appreciate very much. And I want to tell you, Mr. Driver and his wife's children, where they were living in Labrador, he enjoyed very much a snowmobile ride to Charlottetown to the conference. And north of us, about 250 kilometers, there's an area called Goose Bay, where there's an international air base there, and there's a small assembly in that area as well. But further north from there is no assembly. Even though the gospel had been gone forth there, Wallace Buckle did have an airplane, and Mr. Joyce did have an airplane over the years, and still have, and he fly the coast many times, and even into the northern area of Labrador, which is below Goose Bay, and most of them areas, in fact, all of them areas and villages that's below, is Indian people and Eskimo people. But we are very thankful for the gospel that came our way and was preached in our area. And we have saw many souls saved. But today there is a little problem in relation to young people staying in our areas because of the fish moratorium that collapsed in 1992. I'm sure you have heard that. Even on the Grand Banks of Newfoundland and in our small areas along the coast, the fishery has failed, and even to the present day, there's no great amount in our area. And the young people grow up today do not have that employment at all as we did when we were growing up. So today, many of our young boys and girls that grow up and go to further education and leave and go to the Western Canada, into Alberta and Edmonton area, into the oil fields to work. So we would ask you in this area to even to continue to pray for us and even our young folks that would leave our home and go in a distance in areas to provide and get work. But tonight I'm very thankful to be in your country and being able to give you a little report, just a little insight. As much more could be said, but just a little insight of what has taken place along the rocky coast of Labrador. No comparison at all to Scotland, even though we have a land that we appreciate and love and adore. And I'm sure you do the same for yours. May God bless you tonight. Amen. Amen.